Blog Talk Radio.
The 2014 FIFA World Cup Review Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rio. Welcome to the Copacabana. Welcome to the 2014 FIFA World Cup Review Shows. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. Joining me from World Soccer Talk is Kartik Krishnayer. And Kartik, you know, I got to tell you, it's just been unbelievable that finally we got here. We got here to talk about the World Cup, and it's finally here. And what can we say that this tournament is finally underway?
Well, it's underway. I mean, it was a great scenes before the match in Sao Paulo as Brazil got themselves ready for this World Cup. I think there's so much of the backdrop behind how the Brazilians feel. I think they're very conflicted. They want their football team to do very well. They want them to win this World Cup. They're avenge what happened in 1950, and obviously the last two World Cups, Brazil has come in as the favorites or the co-favorites and put out in the quarterfinal round. But then there's obviously the feeling that they've been fleeced and have spent billions and billions of dollars or euros or pounds, whatever monetary denomination you want to base it on this competition, on building stadiums, when they have other needs in that country, when there is so much that has not happened in this country as it's developed. It's one of the BRIC nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, one of the emerging four global economic powers. And as the economy has evolved, a large segment of the population has been left behind and the infrastructure hasn't kept up. So we saw protests during the Confederations Cup last year. We saw even bigger protests today on the streets of Sao Paulo. They were covered extensively on the news channels, BBC World and the CNN, not necessarily as extensively covered on the FIFA rights holders, ESPN and ABC, and the incoming FIFA rights holders here in the States, which is Fox and all the News Corp entities. So that's something worth watching to see how the protests are covered on news channels going forward. But so we had a football match, and I guess we can talk about that.
Yes, we can. You know, a lot of pomp, a lot of pageantry, and definitely a lot of things that I saw in this game where, Kartik, I think we can be honest with ourselves. This is not the Brazil we're used to. This is not the Brazil that plays the beautiful game. This was not the Brazil that we were expecting. Maybe too much nerves. Maybe they felt that they weren't feeling good about themselves. They put a lot of pressure on themselves. But they come away with a 3-1 victory. And let's be honest, Croatia, while I thought at times did not play their best football, did deserve a bit better because a penalty was called in the second half that allowed Neymar to take a spot kick, and he converted it, even though he was a little lucky the keeper did not keep it all the way out.
Yeah, I think all three goals for Brazil were kind of shaky and soft. Let's start with that premise, and let's talk about the fact that call was the wrong call. Fred clearly goes down. Lovren, a player that I've watched a lot this past season, Premier League with Southampton, I thought that was a clean challenge. Not only I'm just judging by Twitter, it seems like 99% of the people agree with me. And then you had a couple minutes later, Croatia back on the front foot. Olic is called for a foul on Julio Cesar, which is a ridiculous call. And Croatia actually evens the game up there, but the goal was waved off. I don't know, Daniel. I hate to bring up this issue. We deal with it all the time in Major League Soccer. We deal with it all the time in the lower divisions in the United States. The standard of officiating outside Europe, and this sounds very Euro snobbish of me, but I hate to bring it up because this happened to us in the World Cup last time. It happened to the United States when we had an official from Mali, I believe, Koulibaly. The standard of officiating outside Europe, outside the top leagues in Europe, is not as good. So you end up getting a lot of these officials from other parts of the globe that just don't, on a week in and week out basis, see games of this speed and of this, where they have to make these sorts of decisions quickly, the way officials do in the Premier League or La Liga or Bundesliga. I think our MLS officials are getting better, although I have to say I was Jair Marufo and Carlos Salazar both had poor matches in the England friendlies I watched, which they did, but they're both MLS officials. They had poor matches. They didn't have a match like this, though. I mean, this was unbelievable. So standard officiating is not there. I wish FIFA would just take the top scored officials. But this is just part of the continuing process of FIFA and Sepp Blatter trying to take the game to different parts of the world, you know, demagoguing when he goes to see the African delegates, claiming that the British press is racist because the British press has been doing exposés on Qatar buying the World Cup. Let's face it, every single thing that's been written in the British press has been backed up by evidence. I think we all know what happened with the 2022
Absolutely.
World Cup. Right, and the fact Absolutely. That the British press is writing about it extensively in the lead-up to the World Cup in England has been all about how FIFA essentially stole the World Cup from the United States or from Japan or whoever would have gotten it instead. Now they're the FIFA officials are playing the race card. So it's unbelievable. I mean, it leaves a sour taste in your mouth. I'd like to talk about football. I guess we can do that. But it's all these controversies. Platini said today he will not vote for Blatter for re-election. He's contemplating a run himself. That'll be interesting if Platini does run. He may not have any support beyond Europe. But there are some real problems in this game, and we saw protests, obviously, we talked about before the game. And I hate to dwell on that, Daniel, but that's what people are talking about today, as much as they're talking
about
the results.
Absolutely. Our good friend Ian Thompson, the Soccer Observer, here's his tweet. Had little enthusiasm before World Cup, given off-field scandals. That penalty killed it, stone dead farce. And unfortunately, it was a farce because, you know, in a certain way, I feel bad for Croatia because they got penalized for basically Fred falling down on his own, and it's a penalty by this Japanese crew. I don't understand why the referee cannot go to his assistant, who probably had a better view of it. I'm not saying not to call a penalty. I'm saying make the call, but double-check your assistant to see if it can be reviewed or at least reversed.
And Daniel, we see this all the time. We see this all the time in Major League Soccer. We see this all the time in the Premier League, the two leagues that are on the television the most, at least English-language television in this country, where there were bad decisions in both those leagues. Don't get me wrong, but you see a lot of consultation between linesmen and the AR that's closest. We now in the United States call them ARs. They're still called linesmen in Europe, but assistant referees. Between the assistant referee and the center ref before these decisions are made. The occasion may have gotten to this crew. I hope that's what it was. Maybe they're just not a good crew, and they're the top crew coming out of Japan, and they were scored the top crew. Look, I mean, I'm not saying this. I'm not trying to be ethnocentric here. We've had controversies around American officials. Brian Hall had a shocker in one of the World Cups, if you remember.
Very true.
Yeah, who was a longtime MLS official. So I'm just saying that I think the guys who officiate the top leagues in the world have to keep up with a certain speed and make decisions quickly and know how to use their crew are better for this. Particularly a showcase game like today's opening game of the World
absolutely.
Cup. What are we talking about? We're talking about the officials. We're talking about protests. We're talking about FIFA. We're not really talking about the game.
Absolutely. It's just unbelievable what we've seen. And, you know, we can't really leave Croatia off the hook. I think the keeper had a very, very bad match today. I mean, my goodness.
He was awful.
It was awful. How is Pletikosa, how does he allow? Now, first of all, yes, Neymar's shot, he didn't get all of it, but just enough of it to go past him, and it just kisses inside the near post and in. And then, of course, the third goal that was scored by Oscar. I mean, my goodness, it's a toe poke. How does a toe poke go past him like that? I mean, what, he's got like steel-toed boots or something that is able to go in there without having to worry about not putting enough on it? I mean, and that was from distance. How does that happen in a World Cup match? Unless all of a sudden, who knows, maybe there's something in the grass that allowed the ball
right.
to go past. You know, they must have pushed the button, okay, make the ball go this way, that way. I'm exaggerating, of course. But, I mean, that was absolutely ridiculous. I don't understand how that happens.
Yeah. Okay, first goal, he's wrong-footed. He loses sight of the ball. That's not Neymar shanks it. Still, it clanks in. So that's the keeper error. The penalty, which never should have been given, I think we all agree it never should have been given. But he gets to that ball, and he 9 times out of 10, keeper gets there and gets that much glove on it. That ball staying out. Neymar thought he had missed the penalty. You saw his body you saw his reaction right away. Third goal, the toe poke by Oscar. It's just inexplicable how that ended up being a goal. I mean, that was Oscar just trying to play forward, you know, kill some time because Croatia had almost scored an equalizer on two occasions inside the previous minute. So it was a poorly officiated match and poor goalkeeping. If we talk about what happened between the 18th, I think and Croatia were pretty good today, if I'm honest about it. I think they were the better team. So
I think they were the better team. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think Croatia was a better team outside of the keeper. But still, though, Croatia was the better team. And, of course, Croatia does get a gift early in the match from Marcelo in the 11th minute. That out of all these matches that Brazil has played in the World Cup tournament, that is the first own goal they have ever put in their own net.
Wow,
that's amazing.
That is amazing to me. But that was a case of Croatia creating a lot of pressure down the flanks. They put Olic, who's throughout his career been a striker, a central attacking player, but they put him on the wing. He's getting older, so he's at Wolfsburg now. He left Bayern after that Chelsea final, Champions League, a couple years ago. So he's playing wide. He puts in a beautiful ball, and there's kind of a jailbreak. There are three or four Croatian players surging forward. Luka Modric is in the area. Jelovic is in the area. I think there was one or two others in the area. And so the Brazilian defenders are backpedaling, and Marcelo is just trying to get something on the ball, because if he doesn't get anything on the ball, it's slipping through to Jelovic, who's back post, who's going to tap it in. So that might have been
exactly.
a goal even if he hadn't gotten a touch on it. It was a situation where Croatia created pressure, created the opportunity, and scored.
Absolutely. And just a lot of strange things that happened in this game. And by the way, the referee from Japan and this Japanese crew, Yuichi Nishimura, was the referee for this match. I should say he had a good beginning. I just think in the middle and towards the end, it was an absolute disgrace. I'm sorry to be so blatant about it. I'm sorry to be so blatant about it, but it's the truth. You expect better from a referee that gets picked by FIFA, the highest scored refereeing crew from the Japanese Football Association, and they screw it up like that.
Yeah, this seems to be what happens in World Cups. I mean, we get officials that are not used to this to making these sorts of decisions quickly, and they got the first penalty decision all wrong. But then I think there's less discussion, although there's still some discussion of it. I'm looking at Twitter. Less discussion of the second call that they got wrong, where Croatia would have equalized. If it's a foul on Olic, it's a very soft foul. You don't call it at this level. You don't call it in the 84th minute of a World Cup group match, which might decide the fate of both these teams. So I think bigger picture stuff for Brazil. They've got a lot of problems in the central midfield. Scolari has preferred certain guys. You see later in the tournament, if this team comes up against Argentina's midfield is decent. If they come up against Germany, they might have some problems with that central midfield situation. If they come up against who else is a tournament there? I mean, they come up against Italy, they're going to have some problems, I think, in that midfield. Spain, obviously, they're going to have some problems. I think there are a number of countries, nations. Now, maybe it's first game kinks and jitters and such, but there are a number of nations who will see Croatia. Croatia has a very talented midfield. They have one of the better midfields in this tournament. But still, there are nations that have even more talented midfield. Germany, in particular, I think of. Although now they've lost, Marco Reus, which is a big loss for them. But I don't know. I mean, to me, Brazil, I thought this before the tournament. I didn't want to articulate it because there's all this talk about Brazil and football coming home. But I look at their squad, and I just see weaknesses in their squad that I don't necessarily see in Germany or Spain's squad. Or Argentina's, to be honest with you. I mean, Argentina had some weaknesses at the back, but I see weaknesses in Brazil's squad that they that Germany doesn't have and Spain doesn't have. So we'll see. Maybe they being at home changes it and they have the advantage because they're at home. But they're not as strong as those two countries, in my opinion.
Well, then let me ask you this now, Kardik, because the way we saw Brazil play, what does this mean for Mexico and Cameroon? Because before I let you go, what does this mean about Mexico and Cameroon then? I mean, I know they're going to play tomorrow at noonish, 1 o'clock time, locally 1 o'clock in Brazil, noonish here on the East Coast. Do you think Mexico and Cameroon, does that mean that one of those two are going to be the sides that are probably take that second spot? Or maybe even force Brazil to go down to the second spot and they take the first spot?
Cameroon is disorganized. They've got all these controversy about bonuses. They have, you look at their squad, they have good players, but players we're familiar with in Europe, but I don't think anything's going to come of them. Mexico is interesting. Mexico got out of jail, right? Got out of jail because of Aaron Johansson and Graham Ducey. They shouldn't be here. I thought all along they might be dangerous because they shouldn't be here. And honestly, I can see Mexico. I don't want to say I can see them beating Brazil, but maybe. I mean, I can see them playing with Brazil. I mean, we know Mexico has a lot of talent. Things were messed up for them in qualifying, but under Herrera, they've got a new kind of a new lease on life. They've got a lot of players, Club America players, who play together and play together well. Montes is obviously going to miss the World Cup. That's a big blow for them. But you know, I think Croatia might still get second in this group. They certainly showed their quality today. But I Mexico might get a draw against Brazil. The way Brazil played, they're going to have to step up their level because they shouldn't have beaten Croatia today. It should have been a draw at best.
I agree.
I absolutely agree.
Absolutely. Brazil should not have gotten the full 3 points. This is definitely a 1-1 draw. Or if you want to say it's a 2-2 draw, that's fine.
Yeah.
1-1 or 2-2 should have been a draw. There's no way Brazil should have had 3 points today. Now, who knows? Maybe their next game against, of course, Mexico, they'll step it up. But obviously, you are absolutely correct, Kardik. Brazil should never have gotten 3 points today. This should have been at least a draw against Croatia. Croatia deserved better. That's just the plain and honest. They deserve better. Kardik, all right, he'll be joining us again tomorrow after Group A and B play. Of course, Mexico will be taking on Croatia, and then, of course, we'll talk about those other great games coming up in the World Cup in Group B. Of course, the big one is always going to be Spain versus the Netherlands. So, Kardik, thank you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Great. I look forward to it, Daniel. We'll talk to everyone tomorrow.
All right. Talk to everyone tomorrow. And everyone, stay on here, please, as we finish up here on this special World Cup review show here on the 40 Cents Fire American Soccer Show. We're counting it down. It's already been counted down. The first match has already been played. The host country, Brazil, gets out of jail. They get their get-out-of-jail-free card from referee Yuichi Nishimura, who gives a gift of a penalty to Brazil. Fred, it looked to be he was taken down in the area, and then all of a sudden, when you get to the replay, not the case. He was not grabbed. He was not brought down in the area. And if the referee is not sure if that is a true foul in the area, you can do one of two things. You cannot blow the whistle, or if you do make the call, go to your assistant, who probably had a better view of it than you did, and if he tells you not a foul, not a penalty, it's a dive, award him the yellow, which would be for Fred, then you have a case of, hey, that's a great job, referee. You don't give Brazil a free shot. And unfortunately, they got their free shot. Brazil leading 2-1 at the time as Neymar converts the penalty in the 71st minute. Oscar, of course, in second half stoppage time makes it 3-1 Brazil. Marcelo the only, I mean, it's honestly crazy, isn't it? All four goals scored by Brazil, the first one an own goal as Marcelo converts the ball and the goal into his own net, where it probably would have been converted anyway, puts his foot on it, and it goes in to make it 1-0 Croatia. Neymar with a bad shot. I don't think he shanked it. I just think that didn't put enough behind it, but it still found a way to get into the back of the net. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you right now, absolutely a stunner. What a stunner of a match this was, because we thought we were going to see the beautiful ball, the beautiful game being played in Brazil. Jogo Bonito, as they call it back in the day. And what we saw right now from Brazil was not a good match. They played scared. They played nervous. And I think for the first time, you saw Brazil not be who they are. You saw Brazil for the very first time not being who they are. They can play better than this. They can play better than this. And yes, you saw some fouls that they took where they weren't really that much of a foul. But, you know, when you're not going right, when you're not doing well, the flopping begins, unfortunately. And Marcelo, hey, Marcelo, you know, I have a problem with him. I have a major problem with him because the way he has played in this match, and maybe it was effective up to a point, but still, that was a disgrace of a performance from Brazil. There's no two ways about it. This is a situation where you're expecting Brazil, and I understand they are the home country. I understand that they're the host nation, and they have to perform better. And while all these things are going on in the stadium, outside the stadium, in the different parts of the country in Brazil, let me tell you something. This has been an unbelievable performance of – I don't want to be too cruel, and I don't want to be too kind, but it was a terrible performance from Brazil. This is not what we are expecting. And this is what happens now because of not just playing in front of your home, in front of your home fans, but everything that's going on. And right now, joining me, my good friend Kevin Larame from the Off the Woodwork podcast. And Kevin, what's your opinion from this match that you saw?
Oh, what? Where did they take that referee? God, it was so bad that his decision. Yeah, I know. But it was so bad that he took a literally. He decided who won the first game. And I was like, wow, he gave it to him? No, really? He must have been intimidated of some sort. What, 60-something thousand people in Sao Paulo screaming at him? Yeah, you got to call it.
Yep. It's just unbelievable. This is unbelievable when you have these referees. And we mentioned this already. If you're not sure it's a penalty, if you're a referee and you're not sure it's a penalty, but you have to blow the whistle anyway, you blow the whistle, you make the call. And then you go over to your assistant on the far side or on the near side, wherever they are on the end, on the touch lines, and you go to them and you say to them, "What did you see?" And what they'll say is, "That's not a penalty, that's not a foul, that's a dive. Give Fred the yellow card." That's what should have happened, but instead, unfortunately, what we saw was the penalty was awarded. The referee did not go to the assistant, and he gave the yellow card to the defender from Croatia, and that was just an absolute disgrace of a call, absolute disgrace of a call made by the referee, and Lovren gets booked in the 69th minute for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and during the whole game, not just that call, there was a lot of fouls called that were either blatant dives or literally he called it on the wrong way. I remember one guy of the Croatia who literally threw himself. He just had one leg between his. I think it was Oscar's leg between his. He barely touched him, and he just let him flop to the ground and got a penalty. Not a penalty, but he got a foul called. And it was a bad refereeing game. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. Oh, and there's one thing I saw on Twitter today. I can't remember who. And he was defending the referee. In a way, he's got a point. He was saying that it takes time to adjust, even for the players, but especially for the referees, because it's a step above. It's one class above even the Champions League, so it takes a while. But I think the referee was a class not above, but below what was needed.
Probably so, but you know what? That I'm sorry to say, that's still no excuse. They should know when you're officiating national team matches, and we know that those matches are a step higher than a club-level match. We understand all of that, Kevin, but this poster from Twitter is absolutely dead wrong. This referee, who is supposed to be the highest-rated referee in the Japanese Football Association, in the JFA, this is supposed to be Japan's finest, and unfortunately he failed. He just simply failed to create the task that he was given, was to officiate a fair and proper match in a FIFA World Cup, and sadly, he made a very, very poor decision.
Yeah, what did you think about Neymar's play? Neymar scored two goals. Okay, the one was a penalty request.
Well, Neymar, well, let me
last one.
Well, I'm going to tell you about Neymar. Neymar, you know, didn't get enough on that ball that he scored the first goal in, but still, though, it's just enough to get it inside the near post and bank it inside the net. The penalty was well taken. The keeper made a great attempt to stop it, but not all of it, unfortunately. It rolled off his fingers and went inside the near post. So what we thought we saw, redemption, unfortunately turned to anguish for Croatia. And they're now they're down 3 points now. Now they're at a minus two differential.
And they say that it's 8% of the team that lost their first game ever in the World Cup that actually made it out of the group. So Croatia's got two strikes against them right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, no.
But then again, we're going to see what's going to happen when Croatia is going to have to face both Mexico and Cameroon. And, you know, understanding Cameroon is not where their heads should be. So we'll see what happens. Of course, you know, money always talks, my friend. But we'll see what happens. But other than that, what did you see? And, I mean, did you think this was a great match? Or do you think you're disappointed in how Brazil did not play the type of football that they normally do?
Well, you actually nervous at the beginning of the game. Same for every player. They had the jitters, and it's understandable. It's the first game in your country. There's a big riots and big a protest going on against the event. And in Sao Paulo, it was a party, you can tell. But the weight of that nation was on the team's shoulders, and they played like they had that type of weight on their shoulders at the beginning of the game. And when Croatia scored, you should have seen the pictures in the pictures of the fans in the stands. Oh, it's like somebody died. It went quiet. It went silent. Not a person was moving. Everybody had their mouth open, gasping. And I was wondering, can Croatia pull it off? And then reality set back in, and Brazil came back. Again, Croatia deserved better, and that's saying a lot, because I'm not the most fan of Croatia. I'm not a big fan of their type of soccer, which usually is in the air and they try to head it in. Not my favorite. It's been a change of there was a bit of revolution in the Eastern type of European soccer in the last couple of years, but still, it's still a prominent type of play they do. I'm not a big fan of that, but we'll see. But hopefully we'll see more relaxed and joyful Brazil playing, because that's when they actually can use their skills and their actual playing style.
Absolutely. Everyone, join Kevin and I when we talk about the Stanley Cup Finals on the Uncensored Hockey Show. Hopefully we'll be able to record tonight, and then you can listen to the next episode. But please listen to our past episodes over at iTunes. Kevin, thanks for calling in, and I will talk to you during the tournament. Thanks a lot.
Perfect. And you can listen to the Five Rings Podcast World Cup Edition with me and Dwayne. First episode tomorrow, and then almost daily. So thank you, Dan.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Kevin. I'll talk to you later. And that's it from Kevin Laramie. And that's it about the show today. We just got started. I know you guys want more. More will be coming tomorrow as we will preview quickly these games. My God, these games. It's just going to be unbelievable. Mexico against Cameroon, Spain against the Netherlands, and Chile against Australia, groups A and B. Join John Chagu and I around 8:30 p.m. Eastern as we will review the game between Mexico and Cameroon. John Chagu covers Mexican national team as well as Liga MX on Big Soccer. We'll hope to have a special guest for Spain versus Netherlands. And Carter Krishnire will join us as we will review Chile versus Australia. Boy, group of deaths. This is going to be big. There's multiple group of deaths here. We'll see what happens. But once again, for Carter Krishnire and for Kevin Laramie, I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Join me tomorrow, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific, as we review groups A and B in the 2014 FIFA World Cup review shows. Thank you. Enjoy your football, everybody. And let's do a samba.